唱着太阔唱着冰刀
太阔是唱着太阔唱着冰刀
太阔是唱着太阔唱着冰刀太阔是唱着
太阔唱着冰刀
太阔是唱着太阔唱着冰刀
太阔是唱着太阔唱着冰刀
太在世界上也太也全难的
太在世界上也太也全难的
太对着唱着家里说我可明的
太对着唱着家里说我可明的
这是哪里里的 chapter 3 the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance text 89
Ulam Gita Tribhida Sima Samati Shai
Ulam Gita Tribhida Sima Samati Shai
Sambhavanam Tava Parivraja Dima Sambhavanam Tava Parivraja Dima Svavaham
Sambhavanam Tava Parivraja Dima Svavaham
Sambhavanam Tava Parivrajima Svabhavam
Sambhavanam Tava Parivrajima Svabhavam
Maya Valena Bhavatapina Guryamanam
Maya Valena Bhavatapina Guryamanam
Pashyanti Kechit Anisham Tvadananya Bhava
Pashyanti Kechit Anisham Tvadananya Bhava
Ulangita Tribhida Sima Samati Shai
Ulangita Tribhida Sima Samati Shai
Sambhavanam Tava Parivrajima Svabhavam
Sambhavanam Tava Parivrajima Svabhavam
Maya Valena Bhavatapina Guryamanam
Maya Valena Bhavatapina Guryamanam
Pashyanti Kechit Anisham TvarananyaBhava
Ashanti Krishna Nisham Paranamya Bhava
Ulangita Tridhita Sima Samati Shai
Ulangita Tridhita Sima Samati Shai
Sambhavanam Tava Parivrajima Svabhavam
Sambhavanam Tava Parivrajima Svabhavam
Maya Valena Bhavatapina Guryamanam
Maya Valena Bhavatapina Guryamanam
Pashyanti Kechit Anisham Tvarananya Bhava
Pashyanti Kechit Anisham Tvarananya Bhava
Ulangita
Ulangita
Pass over Trivida
Trivida
Three times
Sima
Sima
The limitations
Limitations
Sama
Sama
of equal.
Atishai.
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 End of excelling.
End of excelling.
Sambhavanam.
Sambhavanam.
By which the adequacy.
By which the adequacy.
Sava.
Sava.
Your.
Parivrajima. Parivrajima.
Of supremacy.
Of supremacy.
Svabhavam.
Svabhavam.
The real nature.
Maya Valena
Maya Valena By the strength of the illusory energy
By the strength of the illusory energy
Bhavata
Bhavata
Your Api
Api
Although
Nibuyaman
Nibuyaman
Being hidden
Pashyanti
Pashyanti
They see Kechit
Kechit
Some Anisham
Anisham
Always Twat
To you.
Ananya Bhava.
Ananya Bhava.
Those who are exclusively devoted.
Those who are exclusively devoted.
Translation. Oh my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations.You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless, your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. Purport. This verse is also quoted from the Stotra Ratna 13 of Yamunacharya, everything covered by the influence of Maya is within the limited boundaries of space, time, and thought. Even the greatest manifestation we can conceive, the sky, also has limitations. From the authentic scriptures, however, it is evident that beyond the sky is a covering of 7 layers, each 10 times thicker than the one preceding it. The covering layers are vast, but with or without coverings, space is limited. Our power to think about space and time is also limited. Time is eternal. We may imagine billions and trillions of years, but that will still be an inadequate estimate of the extent of time. Our imperfect senses, therefore, cannot think of the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor can we bring him within the limitations of time or our thinking power. His position is accordingly described by the word Ulangita. He is transcendental to space, time, and thought, although he appears within them. He exists transcendentally, even when the Lord's transcendental existence is disguised by space, time, and thought, however. Pure devotees of the Supreme Lord can see him in his personal features beyond space, time, and thought. In other words, even though the Lord is not visible to the eyes of ordinary men, those who are beyond the covering layers, because of their transcendental devotional service, can still see him. The sun may appear covered by a cloud, but actually it is the eyes of the tiny people below the cloud that are covered, not the sun. If those tiny people rose above the cloud in an airplane, they could then see the sunshine and the sun without impediment. Similarly, although the covering of Maya is so strong, very strong, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharatyaya Mameve Papadyante Mayam Etam Dharantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the 3 modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surpass the influence of the illusory energy is very difficult. But for those who are determined to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord, they're free from the clutches of Maya. Therefore, pure devotees can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But demons, because of their miscreant behavior, cannot understand the Lord, in spite of seeing the many revealed scriptures and the uncommon activities of the Lord. Translation again? O my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless, your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. Om Gyanak Chimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chachur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sarasvati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's always good that we think in terms of the limitations that are an essential part of material life. You have to know what you're dealing with. If you're living inside a prison, you need to know where the bars are, where the prison door is, how the prison is being supervised. Material existence, as this verse by Yamunacharya points out, material existence is characterized by trividasima, 3 types of limitations. And you should think about that as you're endeavoring in this world. You should think about the limitations. Time, space, and thought. You should try to understand how these 3 things prevent you from realizing your aspirations fully. They frustrate you. This is how you feel bound up. This is how you are contained. Time, space, and thought keep you encapsulated in material conditioning. This verse is explaining that everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Everything. Because of lust, people do not think of their limitations. They just think of their lust. That's the great contribution of contemporary society. All you do is think of lust and the power of lust and how to satisfy lust, and that's about it. That's the main meditation of people, and in this way they become converted to less than animals. We were speaking yesterday about how no one perceives what the real problems are. You see, Krishna consciousness involves a reworking of your conceptions. You spend so much time here trying to retool your brains, rework your brains, so that you actually start thinking as an intelligent person. An intelligent person is aware of the miseries of material life. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshana. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that someone who's actually intelligent, dukkha dosha anudarshan, dosha anudarshan, they see, they're able to have darshan of the dosha, the faults that marks you as an intelligent person. You have to at least get that far to see the faults in material existence. But you notice that although everybody will say, yeah, it's very inconvenient to go through birth, death, disease, and old age, no one likes to be harassed by those things, but no one makes a plan how to deal with them. You notice that? Everybody will admit, oh, to die at any moment, that's definitely unwanted. Disease is unwanted. Just like we spoke about Daffodil Day. People are acknowledging, we don't want disease. They don't want old age. They're hoping the scientists will figure out some genetic breakthrough so that by tinkering with your genes or something like that, you'll live a long time. They don't want death. Most people don't understand birth as a misery. They just look at birth from the point of view of an observer. They don't look at birth from the point of view of the child going through the birth. I just happened to see the news about a child that was born all of a sudden on the subway. The mother was riding on the subway, standing up, and all of a sudden she gave birth. People on the train looked and saw this baby pop out, you know, and start sliding along the floor. This is in Boston. And the mother just kind of scooped up the child, you know, wrapped him in a newspaper, you know, wrapped the umbilical cord up, and, got off the train at the next stop. And went to the hospital. True story. Yeah, it's true. I saw it by my own eyes. I always wonder where I get these stories from. She wasn't expecting that. And then while she was standing up on the train, all of a sudden this baby comes popping out. I felt this great pain, and then people people didn't know what she was going through. All of a sudden people saw this newborn baby sliding on the floor of the train. Yeah. I guess with the umbilical cord still attached. I don't know the mechanics of the birth process. Is that what it would be? That the umbilical cord would still be attached unless you cut it, it's still attached? So
You know, they keep sliding on the floor. And the mother scoops the whole, scoops the baby up with a newspaper, wraps the baby in a newspaper, wraps the umbilical cord up in a newspaper. And there's something called the afterbirth. That was also there, and the mother scooped that up too. Trey pulls into the station, she gets off, and all the other passengers on the passengers on the train just like, Anyway, supposedly the baby and the mother in fine condition, no problem. So that's birth. Not a very glorious process. So people acknowledge that these miseries of material life are very inconvenient, to say the least. But who's making a plan to do anything about it? That's the point. And this way you can see the mode of ignorance in effect. Even if you acknowledge a misery, you have no plan, you're not making any plan to do anything about it. And the proof is, if you tell any of your material relations or material friends that you used to know, my career is to make a plan to stop birth, death, disease, and old age, they just look at you like, get real. But in real culture, that is accepted as the highest occupation. Just like when Vishvamrita Muni went to see Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Lord Ram and Lakshman and Bharata and Shatrughna. He went to see them. He went to see Dasarath Maharaj because he wanted to request the aid of Lord Ram in killing some demon who was harassing all the sadhus in the forest. Vishvamrita Muni could have done it himself. He's born a Kshatriya, but because he developed the qualities of a Brahmin, he's known as Vishvamrita Muni. So, because he was acting as a Brahmana, he didn't indulge in or act for military action. The duty of the Brahmana is to go to the Kshatriya and request the Kshatriya do something, take action. So Vishvamrita Muni went to see Dasarath Maharaj. And what is the first thing that Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Lord Ram, said? How are you doing in your attempts to conquer the people, birth and death? In other words, great sages and sadhus, they're living in the forest for the purpose of rising above the threefold miseries, rising out of material existence. So how are you doing in your occupation? How are you achieving the goal of conquering repeated birth and death? That is the proper greeting of a Brahmana. That is the proper, that's the proper way to address the number one goal for a society. So Maharaj Dasarath, being a perfect king, knew that. And so he said, that was his greeting. My dear sage, how are you doing? Conquering over repeated birth and death. Recognizing the occupational duty. You can try greeting each other like that. You see each other in the morning. Good morning, Glenn. Hare Krishna. How are you doing your efforts to conquer a repeated birth and death? This is reality. Vedic culture is reality culture. The so-called culture of today means how to avoid everything. How to avoid thinking as long as your senses can be gratified, particularly your skin. Samsparshaja bhoga means the enjoyment that comes with the touch of the skin. Sparsha in Sanskrit, that is the skin sensation. Samsparshaja bhoga, besides meaning sense gratification in general, particularly means in relation to the skin. How to get a pleasing sensation for your skin. So much of life's pursuits involve that. Once you start thinking of what's really going on in material life, then you can develop a plan how to deal with it. But if you don't know what's going on, then how are you going to ever develop a plan? You have to equip yourself with the correct mission. Otherwise, you'll be spacing out. That's why we always make sure that devotees don't use these facilities here as a chance to be irresponsible and space out. Hand over their life and the responsibility of pushing on their life. Okay, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I don't have to think about how to push on my future for attaining the best possible situation. I just hang out here and say Hare Krishna and it all just happens. We're always making sure that doesn't happen. Of course, for a short time, we allow devotees to, you know, recuperate from the onslaught of material existence. You know, we give them kind of, if necessary, we give them an infirmary status while they're, you know, recovering from being battered in material life, while they're regaining their strength and their brains from so much intoxication and illicit sex. So we can grant infirmary status for a while. But after a while, after some time, everyone's got to pull their own weight. Very important. You have to have a sense of mission in your life. We have our mission statement for Gaur Yoga Center. We make it easy. We make it easy for you to come to Krishna consciousness, to grow in Krishna consciousness, and to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. But that doesn't mean we're going to live your life for you. We make it easy for you to realize and carry out these goals. But you have to invest of yourself. So therefore, every once in a while, you notice we always shake the rug. People start going here and there. And because we just don't want this to be like some kind of hangout clubhouse, you know. The good ship Gaur Yoga Center, where everybody just kind of, you know, hangs out and avoids reality and piles all the burdens on the senior devotees, but without properly listening to them.
Yeah, you know, okay. Why should we listen to you? I mean, we're all in this together. It's just all a club, you know. You do what you feel, you know.
So we want to make clear that is not the case. Everyone has to pull their own weight and realize that they have a personal responsibility to themselves and others to make an effort to conquer the miseries of material life. All right, Trivridasima, three types of limitations. Oh my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. I don't know if this is too difficult for you to think about. I derive much insight thinking about this verse. How do you think of the world around you? What do you think is around you? How do you think of nature? Check yourself sometime. Catch yourself. How do you think about the world that you're contained in, or the universe that you're contained in? Sometimes you can forget to think in this way. Just like if you just live in this. I noticed when I first came to Wellington 10 years ago, I was just always looking at the skyline and the sky and the, all the mountains around it and the whole, you know, the whole atmosphere, the whole surroundings, picturesque city, poised at the bottom of the North Island. Now, you know, I can just walk around, you know, Cuba Mall or Manners Mall, whatever, and just not even think about the whole situation all around. That shows you how people live material life. They just forget the overall context very easily and just focus on what's right in front of their nose. And of course, you all, you take all that for granted, most likely, you know, in terms of what's around Wellington, you know, the mountains, and there's water there, and the way the sun shines through the clouds at certain times of the day. But for someone who hasn't seen that before, when they first come here, it's, you know, it's very interesting. And after a while, you're just locked into life, materially speaking, in the center of the city, and you just, you know, you just see the buildings around you and the shops around you, that's it. You just see ground level. You notice that? You just see ground level. But then you see some tourists come, and they're they're going up on the hills to get a view of the city, you know, and the surroundings, you know, and looking for nice postcards to capture Wellington covered by mist or something like that, you know. But you guys aren't like that, you know.
Yeah, there's Vivian Street, there's Cuba Mall.
There's Tory Street, or there's Taranaki Street, and you just see ground level now. You notice that? But then if you went somewhere else, if you got on the boat and went to the South Island, to Picton, to Marlborough Sound, you would... So the show is the power of conditioning. You have to be aware of what's around you in the spiritual sense. Of course, if you're interested in preaching and serving Krishna with expertise, you should also be aware of what's around you in the material sense. A devotee who's preaching is always thinking of how to utilize what's around him or her for spreading Krishna consciousness. But certainly you should be aware of the material nature that surrounds you and how it works. So I want you to start thinking of this Trividasima, the three limitations: time, space, and thought. And how these things characterize your life. Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport. Everything covered by the influence of Maya is within the limited boundaries of space, time, and thought. Even the greatest manifestation you can conceive of, the sky, you think about the sky, it also has limitations. So then Prabhupada explains that the scriptures will tell you that beyond the sky, even though the sky looks so big, beyond the sky is the covering of seven layers of the universe, each 10 times thicker than the one preceding it. But then he says, anyway, even if you don't want to consider these coverings, still, time is limited. In other words, if you understand the coverings around the universe, you'll know that that limits the sky. That limits space. But even if you don't consider those coverings, still the fact is, space is limited. Not only is space limited, but our powers, our capacities to think about time and space is also limited. So you are a person with limited thinking capacity living within limited space. Then what about time? He explains, time is eternal. We can try to imagine billions and trillions of years, but that will still be an inadequate estimate of the extent of time. Try it. Thinking about billions and millions of years. That's the biggest amount of time you can think of. Can you really think of that? Now, what can you actually think of in terms of the expanse of time? Honestly. You generally have to use something in your life or something you know about as a reference point. Like for me, I can easily visualize the world from World War II onwards. But before that, it gets kind of hard. And probably for you guys, it's hard to visualize World War II, right? You'd probably go back to, what, the 60s? To the Beatles or something? It's hard to realize anything before that, huh? You can't think of anything before the 60s, can you? Or what, maybe 70s? You generally think of some major event that happened that affected the world or affected your family. So I know, of course I'm aware that there's history before World War II, but in terms of personal conception, personal visualization, it's hard for me to go before World War II. Even the Great Depression of the 1920s that hit the world, I think. really think about it so much, but my mother told me about it. Have dinner with this toast with mayonnaise on it. So, and World War II, yes, I really can't personally relate to it, even though I've read about it, in terms of perceiving the world in that way. So basically, it seems to me you can visualize ordinarily 50 years back, 50 years back, that's about it. A life, someone's lifetime. Maybe if you, even you're in your early 20s, but if you've heard a lot and talked a lot to your parents, you can kind of visualize their life from the beginning. Can some of you do that? You talk to your parents, know what it was like for them to grow up. So you can visualize, yes, life the way it was ancient times, let's say, New Zealand in the 80s. We've talked to people, I've talked to many people about New Zealand in the 80s. It sounded like it was a different country completely. Anyone here old enough to remember New Zealand in the 80s? How old are you then? Everything was really small and low-key, right? People drew, everyone drove these Morris Miners, tiny cars. Huh? You didn't notice cars. Very few new cars around because they're very expensive. Mm-hmm. Everything was locally produced, right? This is the early 80s. Can't remember the early 80s. Where was that? Where? Where's that? Oh, look, that was a horse and car. The early 80s? The early 80s? About the 70s? Look, my brother, where's this guy? Do you remember that far back? So anyway, this shows you how limited your power of thinking is about time. You can't think of millions and billions of years. You actually can't think about that. Because your consciousness is limited by this body and mind. How far back can you think? What's your conception of time? Yeah, 50 years. That's, you know, theoretically you can, you know, go further back. But in terms of your own personal visualization, 50 years. Maybe you heard from your father or something, what it was like, and you had a vivid picture. You could see, based on what your father said, you can extrapolate and see how things have changed. But that's all. 50 years, that's about it. This is an inbuilt limitation of the body and mind. You may theoretically say, millions and billions of years ago. You can't think like that. Meanwhile, time is eternal. This whole universe exists just during the breath, one breath of Mahavishnu. Take a breath. Breathe out. That's the lifespan of the universe according to Mahavishnu. Therefore, Lord Brahma, in Brahma Sahita says, Yashaikana Vashita Kalana Pavalabhya. Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanata Vishnur Mahan Sita Yasya Kalapi Shesha Govindam Adi Purushantam Mahamajami. Brahma, Shiva, and the other lords of the universe live only during the time of the one breath of Mahavishnu. He breathes out the universes through his nostrils and through the pores of his skin, and then when he inhales, that's it. we probably think of time, even though time is eternal. Our capacity to think about these things is limited because one of the Trivedasima is thought. Thought is a limiting thing. I hope some of you are able to understand this. Thought is not the gateway to the unlimited. Thought is a limitation. Can you understand that? The thinking process is a limitation. Not only are you limited by time and space in this world, but you're limited by your own thinking process. So Prabhupada writes, our imperfect senses, therefore, cannot think of the greatness of the Supreme Personality Godhead. How can you, with your imperfect senses, think of the greatness of the Supreme Lord when you can't even think of something limited like time and space? How are you going to think of the Supreme Lord? Nor can we bring him within the limitations of time or our thinking power. You cannot bring Krishna within your thinking power because by the very nature of itself, your thinking power is limited. It's a limitation in of itself. Now, what is the amazing thing about Krishna? That even though he's transcendental to time, space, and thought, he can appear within time, space, and thought. This is what you should always be meditating on. How can someone who's transcendental to time, space, and thought appear within it and be free? Therefore, Prabhupada would always give the example of the governor visiting a prison on an official visit. Although the governor is inside the prison, he's not a prisoner. You know, he's inside the prison. But a foolish prisoner might think, oh, the governor is in the prison with us, he's one of us. But no. The governor can walk around the prison, do whatever he likes, and leave whenever he likes. The prisoners can't. So please think about how it is that Krishna is transcendental to space, time, and thought. Yet, he can appear within space, time, and thought. Have you meditated on this, Julian? Yeah, you should. He exists transcendentally. Even when the Lord's transcendental existence is disguised by space, time, and thought, however, pure devotees of the Supreme Lord can see him in his personal features beyond space, time, and thought. In other words, even though the Lord is not visible to the eyes of ordinary men, those who are beyond the covering layers, because of their transcendental devotional service, can still see him. In other words, your vision depends on who you are. If you're consciousness is one way, you'll see one thing. If your consciousness is another way, you'll see another thing. You hear people babble all the time that there's a different truth for each person. In the relative sense, that is so. According to your conditioning, according to your coverings by the modes of nature, you will see different things. But beyond the relativities, the absolute truth is one. In fact, the relativities are just expansions of the one absolute truth, just like the clouds are caused by the sun. For the ordinary person, bound by the limitations of time, space, and thought, they cannot see Krishna. They can't see Krishna's personal features. But for someone who's qualified by devotional service, that person can see the Lord. All because of devotional service. I've been thinking while I'm walking or riding around how just like when there's fog, you can't see things clearly even though the things are there. Similarly, Krishna is there, but because of the fog covering our vision, we don't see him. Yet Krishna is there. It takes quite some time to get some humility in devotional service, in which you understand that even though I have eyes, I'm not seeing. Just like you can go on day after day living here in the center of Wellington and completely forget about the mountains and the water all around. Isn't it possible? You notice that? How many of you remember what it was like when you first saw Wellington? Those of you who didn't grow up here. Yeah, your first one. Looking at the whole surroundings, right? Look kind of cool, a city at the tip of the island, right? But now, you know, of course we're engaged in devotional service and we're thinking about how to please Krishna. But now your vision is basically just ground level, you know, Vivian Street, Cuba Mall, Manners Mall, you know, that's it, you know, you just see ground level. You don't even see what's on top of on the first or second floor of the building. How many of you walk around and look at the first and second floor of the building?
And then you feel certain emotions.
But most of you don't look above ground level. I always do. You know why? Because it's just a habit, looking for, you know, looking for properties. It's automatic. You walk in the city, you always think properties. What's available, what's the latest situation in terms of property available, leases, and what's that. You know, I'm looking for anything now, but it's just a habit. It's scanned, you know, first and second floor as a building, as I'm walking by. Ordinarily, you wouldn't do that, right? You have your head down. The ladies may look in a few shops as they're walking, right? See what the latest fashions are that you're missing, right? No. No few shops? What the men look at as they're walking by. Ground. So, simply we can live in this world and be unconscious of Krishna. Now, can you understand how that's done? You become so conditioned. And modern society, contemporary culture is pushing you like that. Just focus on your nose, in other words, just focus on money, some sparsity to hold up. Your skin, how's your skin feel today? Are you satisfying your skin needs? Just think about that. So that's like walking around in the center of the city and just having a narrow focus. But then one day you look up. Oh, I forgot there are mountains around Wellington. There's the ocean, there's, you know, the water and the sun and similarly, one day you should look up and realize that Krishna is there. So my point is to convince you that it's very easy to condition yourself. It's very easy to live a limited life. Not simply in terms of seeing Krishna, but even in ordinary things. It's very easy just to ignore everything and focus on your own physical and mental needs. You ever catch yourself when you're walking around the city, you're just thinking about your body and your mind? I wonder about that. Yeah. Oh, my body. It's feeling bad. It's sick. Oh, my body. It's feeling unfulfilled. Oh, my mind. I'm in anxiety. No one's paying enough attention. How long can I go on living in the ashram? God, I don't want to get a job, that's even worse. Yeah. So you could be walking around in a crowded city and just be focusing on your own body and physical mental needs. Similarly, you can live in this world and forget all about Krishna, even though Krishna is here. The Shastra is telling you, look up, raise your vision, Krishna is here. Become qualified to see Krishna, have a desire to see Krishna, therefore do devotional service. So please start thinking about this meditation given to us by Yamunacharya. The limitations of time, space, and thought. We can't conceive of time. We can't conceive of space in terms of the expanse of time and space. But those things are limited. And we can't conceive of them in their full expanse. Even limited things, that is the point. Even limited things we can't conceive of in their full expanse. How then can we conceive of Krishna? The only way that you're going to be able to understand Krishna is if Krishna reveals himself to you. It's the only way. Therefore, Krishna says, if you perform devotional service, I'll reveal myself to you. But how can someone who is limited by space, by time, and by their own thinking process, how are they going to understand Krishna? Unless Krishna gives you permission. Devotional service is the process by which we're trying to get the permission of Krishna to see him. So I thought I would try this verse on you today, see if you might derive some benefit from thinking about it. The benefit's certainly there, but my point is to see if you're able to desire to get the benefit of this verse. It requires some thought. I know you all have to think of it. You can easily just breeze through this purport. Okay, I've read Chaitanya's very funny good ones twice. But no, this purport requires such deep thought. The things Prabhupada is saying are actually reworking your whole process of mental conceptualization. He's reworking your thinking categories so that you can more easily focus upon Krishna. Alright, any questions? Yes. Ah, devotees, you should know, basic news. Prabhupada writes that and teaches Lord Chaitanya. Don't want people to think you're foolish. You don't have to get into it too much. It's easy to see the news at this point. Looking at the headlines in newspapers as you walk down the street, or make the home page on your internet, extra page for the news conference. Krishna consciousness is not an excuse to hide from the world. He wants to help the world. But first we have to help ourselves. You should be aware of the trends. Those who are serious about preaching should be aware of the trends. Now it's not only yoga craze, it's going up also with meditation craze. A lot of people think meditation is just focusing on your breath. Anything, just to slow your heart down, just to slow your thoughts down. We should
start thinking of how to package a meditation plan that doesn't compromise our standards. I've been thinking how to do it. Everybody's into physical meditation. Even the so-called transcendental meditation is just physical, just about relaxation. So I had some preliminary thoughts. For meditation and slogan. Let's get more than physical. Yeah. Meditation beyond the body and mind. We try to get some people who are indeed interested in meditation and who might wonder them, you know, what's the point of just, you know, physical relaxation meditation? It just has to be done with finesse. Maybe some of you could think about how to do that, how to package a meditation class with finesse. How would you do that? You go to a bookshop and get some books on so-called meditation and see what, you know, the rubbish that's being fed to the people. Take advantage of the whole decorative package, you know what I mean? And put the substance in. These are the kind of things I used to do before I started traveling so much. There's some of you start using intelligence how to do these things. It really helps out a lot. How to package things. We have the substance. Maya has the packaging. So if you take the packaging and put the substance in, that's the best thing. I'm sure you can figure out how to do that. People are concerned so much with stress and anxiety. You just have to package it all. So if some of you can put together a meditation class, it seems to be very non-threatening and non-challenging, although that you will be. You might get a, you can get a few people. That's nice. You start chanting Hare Krishna. You have to understand what you're up against, though. The meditation craze is totally devoid of anything to do with, like, mysticism and gurus and mantras and incense and all that. They've thrown out all the exotic stuff and just kept the physiology of the conception of that. So you have to figure out a way how to deal with people's perceptions in such a way that you can actually still give them the substance. Some of you all think you're capable of doing it. Try to do it. You're smart, baby. You think there's something out there. We need devotees to start thinking like this. Yeah? Yes. You have to be aware of how people see things and then utilize that to give them the substance. You understand? Just like Prabhupada took advantage of the hippie days to get people Krishna consciousness. You have to take advantage of what's around you to give people Krishna consciousness. So the more you all can do this, the more help you'll be. I can't do everything. Some of you are getting old, and now you can start thinking like this. How, without compromising our standards and principles, to just take advantage of the extra packaging that is a part of contemporary life these days, to give substance. You understand that, Julian? Maybe you can also help in this. You have to research a little bit. What do people, what's their conception of meditation, how it's being promoted, and then take advantage of it and give the substance.
That's what we did with the yoga. That's not the only thing. I don't think that that's the end of it all. Before that, remember, though some of you may remember, I don't know if any of you were around for that, but the civil steam prophecy praise, you were around for that, right? Were you around for that? Yeah. No. Remember going to this fellow? Oh, the place is just packed, right? All these people just coming to, you know, right inside. Went on for 3 years, didn't it? Then it just disappeared. That's the way it is, you know. Whatever is out there that can be utilized to bring people to Krishna consciousness, we're going to utilize that. Yet becoming more savvy instead of, you know, spending time bugging each other.
For you to tell me what to do.
I know it doesn't go on this exactly. Instead of the men brooding about whatever men brood about. Men are more kind of existential in their brooding. The world, my place in the world, what am I going to achieve? Okay. Ladies just get more personally mental. Men also brood, but it's a completely different way. They're concerned about the world. Fit into the world or not, what's going on in the world, how to relate to that. Should I achieve or should I not achieve? Male type worry. Then when the men get burned out worrying like that, they look for a lady to give them, you know, support and solace. And then once they get the support and solace, they're off to fight the world again. Of course, the gopis used to accuse Krishna of being like that. You're just like a honeybee. You go to the flower, you take the pollen, and then you disappear. Because they're the supreme male. Actually, everyone else is female. Well, the gopis used to accuse Krishna like that. Just like a honey. You're a bee that comes, takes the pollen, takes all the good things from the flower, and then just disappears. We're not going to be fooled by this again. So you also start thinking like this. Come alive. Give it experimental, innovative, but don't do things, you know, in a, how should we say, a sloppy way. Everything should be done with finesse and attention, and just slap together some flyers, just slap together some signs, and everything should be done tastefully. This meditation thing. You never know. Got nothing to lose anyway. Think how to make a meditation curriculum. Is anyone here able to do such thing? Hmm? Able to do that today? But did you think about it properly? Or? Right. Right. You just slap something together. You've got to research the external environment to some degree and see what are the things that give people a buzz. You have to check. I used to do this. I used to go around. This is how I got in touch with what's going on in New Zealand. I used to go to these places, check it out, you know.
take their ideas and which are all zeros and add the supreme one to it. I used to do all these kind of things. The Maya world is expert in the presentation or the packaging, no substance. We have the substance, but we do need packaging because you're dealing with conditioned souls. How many of you would have come to Krishna if we just held the picture of Krishna in front of you and said, surrender? Well, he's really sort of one. People are conditioned, so it's part of being merciful that you deal with their conditioning while not compromising the standard. You just have to do some research into what, you know, if somebody's successfully having meditation classes, check it out. Check out what a few books say. And just wrap things in that kind of decor, but you're actually giving the substance. Have to look into these things further and try to get some kind of course together. The course has to give an appearance of what the people, you know, think is happening. But then they find out the substance. So this is not just a place here where you know, float around and do the same thing day after day. You've got to be on the cutting edge. Be alive in thinking how to give people Lord Chaitanya's mercy. That's why, you know, those of you who are pushing your way through personal problems, you've got to hurry up and do that. You know, don't just prolong it. You got some things to work out, health problems, psychological barriers. Get it worked out as much as you can. You know, got things to do. It's very selfish if someone just absorbs themselves in their own psychological traumas without doing anything about it. And that means they can't carry their weight. You understand? They can't. It's selfish. It's actually a kind of sense gratification.
Oh me, oh my traumas, oh my hurts, oh me.
Ah, the pain, oh me. Okay. Everybody's been hurt and banged up in this world. Do something about it. And get on with your life. So let's get going a bit, you know? Take Krishna consciousness and distribute it to others. Very happy to see that some of the men are trying to distribute books. Don't become discouraged by humble beginnings. Everything starts somewhere. Like I saw Martin on the street expressing his quality. Still, start somewhere. Krishna is noticing. So Prabhupada told book distributors that Vishvamrita Muni meditated for 60,000 years. The Supreme Lord. You can get the same result by distributing books for a few days. You don't really understand the power of what you're doing. So let's, you know, get some light. Let's get going. Happy to hear that, you know, university programs are starting. Let's have some creativity. Shake out the doldrums. A bit too mental. Deal with your problems and then become capable of doing something for Lord Chaitanya. Get rid of your addictions. Deal with it. Don't just linger with these things. Linger and loiter with these things. Got addiction? Deal with it. Got a problem? Deal with it. Got a trauma? Deal with it. It's nothing unusual. Just deal with it. Get it done and move on to Krishna's service. You have a health problem, deal with it as best you can. And ultimately Krishna is the controller, not the doctor. Dr. Dan is not God, not the doctor. It's all up to Krishna. As Julian found out. You do the best you can in this world and leave the rest up to Krishna. So, you know, I don't want to hear all about the small time stuff. This little thing and that little thing. When there's so much to do, there's so much you could be doing if you just have a more savvy attitude. You get that attitude and we can easily work out all the small things. Hasn't always been like that before. But when you lose sight of the preaching mission, then the small things become so big.
Oh me, oh my.
You're happiest when you're spreading Krishna's glories. You don't use that as an excuse to neglect yourself. In fact, you use that as a reason, motivation for getting yourself together. So, how does that sound? We need talent, we need creativity, but that has to be coupled with determination and patience. There's no point in having good ideas and good strategies if you don't have determination and patience. Because the nature of this world is that it's going to try to discourage your endeavors for giving Krishna to others. The kingdom of Maya. You think Maya is just going to lay back and say, okay, devotees, spread Krishna consciousness, no problem. Not like that. You have to actually struggle with it. Krishna likes that. Okay. I hope you've got some vision now, what you can do. Each one of you can get something, make a contribution, get something done. Be fresh and creative. In a harmonious way. Be thinking how you can, how others can be attracted to Krishna consciousness. Don't think that the way the program is here now has to be that way. We're always open to whatever works. Nothing has to be any kind of way. It's the advantage of this place. It's like a chameleon. It changes colors according to the situation. It's the advantage of not being a temple. A temple has to be very set and rigid because they have, you know, the deity worship is like that. And, but a preaching center can be much more flexible and adaptive. According to the needs of the current situation. Okay, now we can speak about briefly about some general things. I've spoken to some of the ladies individually about taking rest on time, rising on time. We don't want to hear about problems in that respect. It's just a simple thing. There's just like for the men's ashram, for the ladies, there's some, what do you call it, protocol, there's some, what do you call it, perspective. If ladies want to live in the ashram of their own free choice, they have to follow that perspective. Otherwise, get your own place nearby. No problem. No problem at all. Get your own place nearby. If you want to live in the ashram, you follow that perspective. We don't want the senior devotees always having to remind you, get up, take rest. That's not what they're there for. If you can't carry your own weight, you shouldn't be here. You should have your own place nearby. It's like Jeff has his own place. No one bothers you about it. Get up for it. Goes there, right? You have to discipline yourself, right? But you can also do it. You can get a place nearby. Don't ask me how to pay for it. That's your concern. That's part of the fun of having your own place. Pay for it. Get that nice, get that nice automatic payment every 2 weeks or something. You pay your rent. Isn't that fair enough? And the senior leaders should be respected. Not that, hey man, we're all in this together, it's a club, you know, yeah, I don't feel like doing that. Who are you to tell me? So, in case you don't know, in case you haven't figured out, the senior leaders are Krishnamurti, Mahavaya, and Kabiravaya. So they have to be respected. Why not? They're giving their lives so that this place can go on doing its missionary work. If Kadiravan, in her gentle way, tells you to do something, do it. Plain and simple. Don't take advantage of the fact that she's a humble Vaishnavi. Don't have Krishna Loka having to tell you the same thing 10 times. If that's the case, it means you shouldn't be living here. You can't carry your own load. Don't think, well, I'm here because David Lucaswamy wants me to be here. You can't make it according to the scene, then fine with me if you get a place nearby. I don't think bad of you. Ken, you got a place nearby, right? He's doing lots of service. No one's criticizing, right? He feels he functions better that way, right? And we judge a thing by the results. Not everybody can make it living communally, you know? Doesn't mean you're a demon. Right, Sid? It's just, you know, different strokes for different folks. We're open to whatever works, but it has to work. So, yeah, he comes and stays at the ashram 2 days a week and 3 days. The rest, he's a particular way, but it looks like he's getting the job done this way. So, fair enough. All glories. Right, Mara? If you want to live with others in the men's ashram or the ladies' ashram, you have to follow the perspective, that's all. And don't make the mistake of thinking this is a commune where, you know, everybody can just, when they feel like it, they do something, when they don't, and no one can tell anyone what to do. Not like that. So, for both the men's and the ladies' ashram, you should understand that Krishna Loka, Abhan, Dhirabhan are the leaders of the whole situation. If they tell you to do something, I'll give you some advice, you should take it seriously. Uh, I hope everyone understands these points. It's not a free-for-all. And Krishna Loka wants to preach. She doesn't want to spend her whole day telling people the same thing 10 times. Could you please get up? Can you get up, please? Pretty pleased with, you know, the caravans up? This is not what this place is for. You want to do that, you can find so many empty temples where they'll be glad to have you space out in. If you just, you know, do a half hour service a day. Doesn't Perth like that for you, or Jason? Hey, you can do whatever you want, right? Well, you're a little bit half hour service, you can talk nonsense all day and space out. I don't care, right? Yeah. Still a half hour service. So if that's what you want, I'm there plenty of places you can go. Right then? He goes and you brush on, get a unit, and you could be smoking marijuana every day, no one would know or care, right? Right? Yeah. He knows, he did it. He proved the point. So, this place doesn't run like that. You have to be individually responsible. So I hope everyone gets the point. If you cannot follow these senior leaders, then get your own place. And maybe if you get your own place and you come here, you still have to follow some guidelines. If Kabir Bhan, for example, is here on the men's night and she tells the men to do something, then the men should take it seriously. Not to,
hey, you know, this is you? Men's night. We're men.
We're men, that means we're dirty, we don't clean. It's not going to be like that. And men's night means for the men. If ladies want to be around on the men's night, talk to me about it and we'll work something out for you. If the apple's getting a bit ripe, just let me know. I mean, these things will happen in due course of time, but there's no need to rush them or no need to deal with these things in an inappropriate way. If you're feeling certain lackings of incompleteness, just let me know and we'll keep, you know, put you on the list and, you know, and see what we can do. Things go on in an orderly way. You know, same with the men, you know. You're feeling there's a certain lack in your life and needs to be fulfilled, you know. Let me know and we'll see how, you know, how the future might be able to unfold. So everyone's got this clear?
Thank you.